Well, say good morning to each one of you. Pray the Word of God is going to bless you today. We're looking today in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. And we're going to skip around a little bit and talk about some things I think God would have us to say and some things we ought to see. I pray you've had a good week in the Lord. You know what makes a good week in the Lord, don't you? It's knowing Him and the free pardon of sin. Knowing Him and being saved, being part of His fold, part of His flock, part of His family, part of His church. You know, the church is not a brand new concept. Jesus died for the church and bought the church. But also there was a church in the wilderness, the book of Psalms talks about. And the church means it's an ecclesia. That's the Greek word. It's a called out assembly. It's how God calls people unto Himself. And God's always been doing that. And God's still doing that today. You know, we see it. We saw it when God called. The first time God called, He called for Adam. He said, "Adam, where art thou?" God's always called men. And I'm glad He still does that. And so some of you today are wondering, "Preacher, would God ever call me?" Yes, He's calling you now. He's calling you by the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the cross. We're going to talk about it a little bit today because we sometimes think we know. See, there's something about this, and maybe you're part of the elect. You know, we have a radio audience that primarily, I think, the bigger portion of those are saved people. And I'm glad of that. I'm glad lost people listen. I'm glad everybody listens. Backsliders listen. And, you know, I'm glad that people today hear the Word of God. And sometimes people think, well, you know, preaching's what preachers do. But we're going to talk about here the call of God to preach is upon every person. God's put it upon the heart of each one to preach. Now, I remember this very specifically when I got saved in 1987. When God saved me, you know what I began to do immediately? I began to preach, not publicly, one-on-one. And this is what I mean by that, sharing the Word of God, getting the Word of God out. I wanted to tell everybody I knew about what Jesus had done for me. That's preaching. And so we find it, sharing the Word of God, telling the Word, getting the Word out, is God's call. That's what God's called His church to do. Now there's lots of ministries, but none's more important than telling the old bloodstained story of the Lord Jesus. And so we're going to see this. Watch now in 2 Timothy 4, is where we're going to begin reading here. Paul said unto young Timothy, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word." Verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant. That means to be ready. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Paul said they're not always going to hear truth. They're going to turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. But watch thou, I like this last verse I want to read here. Verse 5, "But watch thou in all things, and endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry." He said, "Timothy, I want you to make full proof of your ministry. I want you to know what your ministry is about." God's given all of us a ministry. Now, some of you, you have very specific gifts. God's give you those. And some of you, God's calling you to those. God's placing His hand on your life to some very specific gift. But we all have the gift of ministry. And we need to know what that is. But I'm going to tell you something that is common. Something that is common to all mankind, men, women, boys, and girls, is to tell the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know God's not called everybody to public ministry. You're not going to take the pulpit. You're not going to go out into the places of public ministry. That's not your call. But God's called you to preach the gospel one-on-one. And to show you the great effect of this, Jesus was the great example of how we do that. I want you to go back with me. Pardon me. Go back with me to the 3rd chapter of the book of John. We're going to look there. John, the third chapter, is where we're going to begin reading and see this, how that Jesus was the example of public ministry. And not only public ministry, but private ministry. So we look here, and we're going to skip around a little bit. But before we leave, can I say something about this one thing? Paul made it clear right here to Timothy. He said, Timothy, do the work of evangelists. Make full proof of your ministry. The time's coming when men will not endure sound doctrine. I think the one thing that strikes fear in so many hearts today is rejection. Is rejection. But you know, we're not trying to sign people up for something. No, we're trying to tell them something. Give them something. Share something with them. Something that God will use. And we're going to trust God to do that. Watch now how Jesus dealt with a man by the name of Nicodemus. In the third chapter of John's Gospel, the word said that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, and he came to Jesus by night. And he was the ruler of the Jews. And the word said he came to Christ. He said, Rabbi, call Jesus Master. He said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, and no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said, you know, he didn't say, thank you, Mr. Nicodemus, I appreciate those kind words. Jesus said, except a man be born again, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, notice how quick and abrupt. People said, preacher, I'm not polished. I don't know how to tie things together and work over into this, and my people skills aren't that much. And you know, other people say, well, you know, I can't get the conversation from point A to point B. Well, why don't you just do it like Jesus did it? Just say it. Just spit it out. Just preach it. Just tell it. Just work that God's given you to work. And here we find it that Jesus said, if a man's not born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. And notice he said, how can a man, Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He can't see it, he said first in the third verse. In the fifth verse, he can't enter into it. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And he said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And so immediately Jesus put something in the craw, a Nicodemus, that he's got to wrestle with. Now, personal evangelism, I think the biggest problem in personal evangelism is we put too much pressure on ourselves. We think, preacher, I've got to have all the right things. And if I don't have all those right things, and if I don't go A, B, C, D, then somewhere in there I'll be a complete failure. And this person won't hear one thing I said, and nothing good will happen for the kingdom of God. But that's not true. When we put the word of God out, we don't even know what's going to be effective. We don't know what's going to ring in that person's heart. We're not, is it going to be what God personally done for us? Is it going to be a scripture that God gave us to use? Is it going to be a song that God put on our heart? Well, you know, I pray when you're walking down the hall, God may give you a song, you ought to sing it. And you know, people say, preacher, could you do that in the workplace? You can do that in the workplace. You can do that in the grocery store. You can do that at the mall. God gives you a song to sing, sing it. You don't know what that person's going through. You don't know what somebody's dealing with. God gives you a kind word, speak it. God gives you something of encouragement, use that to open the conversation. And God's given you these things, and I think the most effective believer is one that's relaxed and they're comfortable in the place God's put them. And they're there because they spend time in His Word, number one. They spend time with God, number two. They're not afraid of being used to the Lord. That's not causing fear in their heart. And they're in tune to a place when God says something. When God speaks something to that heart, oh, it still happens today, church. When God speaks, just like He's speaking today, you don't know. I don't know who's happed up on this broadcast right now. I don't know what highway they're coming down. I don't know where they are in their state of mind. I don't know the condition of their heart. I don't know if they're saved or lost. I don't know if they're encouraged or discouraged, cast down, or jubilant about something that's going on in their life. I do not know, but I know one thing. If I'll speak the word of God, God will use it. If I'll get the word out, God will take it. God said something about this, and see, we forget. Let's talk about personal evangelism. It seems to be the way this message is going, because Isaiah 55:11 said something that we need to grab a hold of today. Now, you said, preacher, I don't know if I could ever teach a Sunday school class. I don't know if I could be anything as far as a lay person that worked fervently at the church. I don't know. Well, I'm going to tell you, we need to grab a hold of the Word of God and go where God guides us, because God said, so shall my word be which goeth forth out of my mouth. God said, my word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now see, we have 66 books of the Bible, 39 of the Old, 27 of the New. We have thousands of pages, thousands of chapters. We've got those. God gave them to us. And what we have is what God gave us. God gave us. Everything's coming out wrong today. You ever have days like that where you don't feel like you can speak right? See, you don't even have to be able to speak right to do something for the Lord. And, you know, if making little blunders encourages you to go on with God, you'll get a lot of encouragement out of this broadcast, I promise you. But we need encouragement, because we need to realize that my word, God said, my word will not return to me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper the thing whereunto I sent it. You know something that we need to be reminded of? Charles H. Spurgeon. See, there's another one. Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers that's ever walked on the top side of God's green earth, was won by a man. God used the ministry of one fellow who testified for 12 minutes at a Wednesday night prayer meeting. God used that testimony of a man who stood up. I don't know anything about him. I don't know how polished or unpolished he was. It doesn't matter. I don't know how educated or uneducated. I don't know if he was white or black. None of those things matter. But he stood up and he spoke what God gave him for 12 minutes. And God used that to speak it to a young man named Spurgeon. And Spurgeon was greatly used, one of the greatest preachers that God's ever called. And you know whose ministry that is accounted to the man that stood and obeyed God and spoke those things God gave him to speak. See, we don't know. Here's Nicodemus. Nicodemus is hearing something. Jesus is preaching something. Now, Jesus is not like us. He knows all things. He knew Nicodemus in from the beginning. But we didn't know, and so we see it here as we're going to pursue a little bit and watch what happened to Nicodemus. All we know is Jesus preached, and this preaching went over into the late part of the third chapter. And when Jesus continues to preach, matter of fact, we forget about this sometimes, that it was Jesus preaching to Nicodemus when he began to talk about John 3:16. John 3:16 went out to Nicodemus first, for God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In John 3:15, he said he'd have eternal life. And so we find it in 17, he said, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, Christ, might be saved. And so this preaching first went to Nicodemus. Nicodemus heard it first. And so we wonder what happened, because when Jesus preached to Nicodemus, there was no, we don't find where there was a time in the altar. We don't find where Nicodemus said, I want to be saved today. We don't find where Nicodemus did anything that we would say spoke to Jesus' success of preaching. But you know, we do find something about Nicodemus over in two other places in John's Gospel. In the 7th chapter, the 50th verse, we find where Nicodemus defended the Lord Jesus. And so that's a good sign, but I'm going to tell you, if you're a defender of the Lord, it could be that you're on the Lord's side. And I don't mean you're saved, but that's a pretty good sign, isn't it? And so later on we find that Nicodemus was one of those men, along with Joseph of Arimathea, who begged for the body of Jesus. The word said in one gospel, they craved the body of Jesus at his death. And so they craved and begged Pilate for the body of Jesus that they could anoint it for the burial. And I'm convinced Nicodemus got in. He heard the words of the Lord, but we don't see that for a long time under the 7th chapter, the 19th chapter of the book of John. But then we find where Jesus preached to another person. I'm going to tell you, some of the most effective preaching Jesus ever done was just like you and I preach, and that's one-on-one. I never had a clue of being called a public ministry. I never had a desire to be called a public ministry. I was perfectly content sharing the gospel one-on-one. And so you know what happened? Some of my friends, they dread seeing me come after God saved me, because I wanted to talk about Christ. I wanted to talk about being saved and what a blessing that was. I wanted to talk about being forgiven. And the only reason I wanted to talk about that was because God saved me. And so for about 7 months that rocked along. 8 months, I guess it was. It was 8 months till the call of God came to me to be a public preacher. Now, that may not be your call. We don't need everybody to be public preachers. We just need people that will speak the words of life. They'll speak the words of the Lord Jesus. They'll do it in the truck with the person that they work with. They won't be ashamed of the gospel. They'll do it at the department store. They'll do it one-on-one. They'll do it at the coffee shop. They're not ashamed of Christ. Every time God, you know what they're looking for? They're looking for an open door. Paul said, pray. Pray that God will open a door for me. He said an effectual door. We don't just need some door. We need an effectual door opened by the Holy Ghost that we can inject the Word of God. Get the Word of God in there. I think about Cornelius, how effective Cornelius was for God. Great things done. Why? Because he heard when God spoke. He obeyed when God commanded. He was open under the door that God would use him for. I'm talking about Cornelius in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. He received of God's blessing, not only him, but his whole house. A whole house full. Now listen, Cornelius was a centurion. You know what that means? He was over 100 soldiers. And Cornelius, the centurion, I promise you, shared the Word of God with those soldiers. And so what's the job of the church? Is to share the Word. We're not interested in titles. We're not interested, I pray to God, you're not interested in positions. I know people like that. They like positions. They like the fact of having authority. Now, they're not really going to use them for the office that they're called to, if they're called. But they ought to. But they desire that. They desire positions. And here we find it that oftentimes it's for the wrong reason. And so here, what's God called? He's called people to win men to his son. That's what he's called. And in the 4th chapter, we talked about Jesus, the one-on-one public ministry. Some of the greatest stories in God's Word is 101. Whether it's, I love this, the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, where we see Philip and the eunuch. There's none better than that. And Jesus and Nicodemus. But what about in the 4th chapter, where it's Jesus and the woman at the well? This is such a famous story, but you know what's amazing about it? We don't even know her by name. See, it's not important that people know our name. It's not important that people know who we are. It's important that they know who he is. And so we see it right here. When Jesus came, the word said in the 6th verse of the 4th chapter, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey. You said, preacher, I don't always feel like speaking the words of the Lord Jesus. Well, Jesus was flesh and blood like you and I. He was wearied with his journey. But I'm going to tell you, you may be weary in your flesh. Doesn't mean you have to be weary in your spirit. Doesn't have to mean you have to be weary in your zeal. Doesn't mean you have to be wore out and unavailable for God. Here he is, tired in his body, wearied with his journey. And he sat on the well. And the word said it was about the sixth hour. It was high noon right there in Samaria. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said, we don't know the time of the year necessarily, but it could have been the hot part of the year. Jesus said, give me to drink. He needed the refreshment of the water of that well. And he asked her to give him to drink. For his disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me that am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And so here Jesus had to get through the racial borders, if you will. He had to get through the barriers. He had to get across the lines of this woman thinking he had no business talking to her because he was who he was and she was who she was. And sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes you got to go forward and press through those things. But trust God to get you through them. Personal evangelism won't always be easy. I'm going to tell you something else. It won't always be instant. Sometimes you have to be around that person several times. You'll have to show them several acts of kindness. You'll have to be good to them, be an example to them. You can't live like the devil and be successful at personal evangelism. If the fruits of your labors negate everything you think to say, number one, you're not going to have any power to say them. Number two, you're not going to have any effect if you get them out. This is why the purity of the believer's life is so important. It's important that you live like God, look like God, walk like God, talk like God, and be Christ-like. They were first called Christians in Antioch, Acts 11:26, and they were called Christians because they live like Christ to the best of their ability. That's all we can do. But we need to do that if our words are going to be effective. Otherwise, you know what people are going to do? They're going to mock. They're going to laugh. That's what they done to Lot, wasn't it? When Lot come and tried to warn those people, his sons-in-laws thought he was one that mocked. They were laughing at Lot, thinking Lot was laughing at God. But it was no laughing matter. But see, Lot didn't have a witness, and Lot didn't have a testimony. But here Jesus, as he speaks and they get through this matter of who's who, here we find that he pressed through. See, don't let the little things stop you. And you know, the least we can do is say a word for Christ. We can acknowledge God in our conversation. You may not, people said, preacher, I just didn't feel like it was time to go there. Well, obey God. If God's saying don't, but if God's saying do, then we need to obey Him. And Jesus, as He pressed through this matter, He said, if you'd have knew the gift of God, you would have said to me, you would have asked to Him, and He would have given you living water. And this woman, all she can think about, see, she's still thinking about the physical. She's thinking about the well, Jacob's well, but Jesus ain't thinking about Jacob's well. Jesus is thinking about His well of living water that gives eternal life. See, sometimes it takes a little bit to get on the same page, don't it? And so Jesus had to press through this stuff. Number one, it's the racial barrier. And they said, well, you know, we're half-breeds and you're this and we don't do with you and you don't do with us and, you know, we don't do that. And sometimes you got to get through that stuff. Sometimes people are going to look funny at you. They think, why are you even talking to me? You know, you see this people when people's lives are destroyed by drugs and alcohol, and they're wondering, what do you want? Are you here for a collection? What do you want? And that you can see that in their body language. And you're trying to get a word in for God edgeways if you have to. And sometimes that's all you can do. But they're thinking, what do you want with me? Why are you even dealing with me? I'm not worthy of being bothered. And so here, as he pressed, and they're getting down to the meat of the subject here, Jesus said it in 13, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And he said something right there. Bless God. I'm going to tell you, some people want to hear about everlasting life. I know some people today that want to hear about sin forgiven. I know some people today that's on death row. I know some of them, their life's committed to prison. I go into the penitentiary system and preach, and to hundreds at a time, and I love that. That's great. That's good. And we know that they're not all there to hear the gospel. But bless God, some of them's there to hear the gospel. And I know there's some of them, the only hope, you know, when their eyes light up and their ears perk up, is a hope of everlasting life. A hope of being sin for, forgiven of sin. A hope of having their sin debt paid and having their slate wiped clean. See, that's where I was. I wanted God to speak something to me of a clean slate and sin forgiven and washed in the blood. These are the things that many people today are desperate. They're desperate to hear. And we have to get through the other stuff to get there. But if you'll go with God, He'll lead you. And this is where Jesus begins to deal with her. And she said, "Sir," boy, I like this, in the 15th verse, "Sir, give me this water. Give me this water. If you've got water that I can drink and never thirst again, water that'll give me everlasting life." See, she knew she had a dirty background. This woman's been married 5 times. The one she's got now ain't hers. Listen, she's one that wakes up every morning living in a life of sin. She's the one that's lived a life, make black marks on a wash pot. She's lived that life. And Jesus said something that woke her up. I remember when the preacher said something to me. And he didn't know where I was spiritually, but God knew. And the Word of God came to me and spoke of sin forgiven. And there's something inside the soul of a man or woman that cries, "Abba, Father," when they hear something about sin that can be forgiven. And they can be clean before God. There's not a man, woman, boy, or girl in their right mind today walking that does not want to be clean before God at the judgment. We shall all give an account of ourselves at the judgment. What Romans 14 speaks about. We're going to give an account to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And here she has been woken up to that fact. And Jesus, he's got where he wants to be now. See, we're not going to win them all to Christ. Jesus preached to people that he did not win. Now, if the Savior of the world preach to people that, as far as we know, never received saving grace, then what kind of comfort does that speak to us? That if we'll go in Jesus' name, speaking God's word, God will be effective if he so chooses to. Salvation, we can't forget this, salvation is still of the Lord. It's not of us. We're not trying to save them. We can't save them. We want to share with them. We want to point them to the cross. We want to point them to Christ. It's much like Numbers 21. In Numbers 21, men were dying of plagues. And as they were dying in vast numbers, Jesus told Moses, "Take the brazen serpent and put it upon a pole." That was a type of a Savior being put on a cross. And Jesus, here, God told Moses, "And everyone that shall look shall live." And so what's going to happen? They're going to look and they're going to live. You know what the job was of those people in Numbers 21? It wasn't to save them. They couldn't save them. But they were to point them unto a serpent on a pole. They were to point them unto the one that could help them. And the job of the church today is to point men and women to the Lord Jesus. Matter of fact, in John 3, Jesus used this example. And he said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And so we find it here. As Jesus is on the cross, what do? We point people to Christ. We point them to a crucified Christ. We point them to an old bloody cross, an old bloody gospel. We get them to God. We tell them. We show them. We point them. That's the job of evangelism. And here we find it. Jesus dealt with her. And she said, "Lord, give me this water. Give me this water that I never thirst again. Give me this water." Watch now. And here we find this. I'm going to get down to the good stuff because I want you to see this. We got it. Our time's running out, but we want to get this in. And the word said this. The woman said, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And so Jesus said, I'm He. And upon this the disciples came and marveled that He taught with a woman. They're thinking, Jesus, why are you talking with this woman? You know, there's going to be people around you. You're going to be off somewhere in a public place. And they're going to say, why are you taking up time with him? Why are you taking up time with her? That's what they were doing. And just imagine they were at McDonald's and they come out of the bathroom and Jesus over. And Jesus, why are you talking to her? What's that about? And see, that's what mankind does. And Jesus, I'm going to tell you, Brother A, something about this. When we've got the mind of God, there's a mission. When the Holy Ghost is speaking something to our heart, maybe our friends don't understand what's going on. I remember a man full of the Spirit of God that took up time with me. And boy, my eyes get wet with tears when I think about this. I was 19. He was 21. God was speaking to me. And you know what he was? He was an encourager. He was pointing me to Christ. He was one I saw the light in. I saw the light of the gospel of God in him. And brother, I'm going to tell you, that's what it takes to win people to Christ. And so here we see this. Jesus left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. You know why she told the men? That's probably who she knew best. We don't know she had five husbands. The one she's got now ain't hers. I got a feeling she was real affluent with the men. And so she went to the men. Bless God, it's a different time now. She went to the men and said, come see a man which hath told me all things that I ever did. He's told me all things. Is not this the Christ? Preacher, how do I win people to the Lord? Same way she won them to Christ. You go tell them and you point them to him. And she said, come see him that told me all I ever did. Is not this the Christ? And you know what they said? They said, behold, the serpent on a pole. And so we find it. What do? We point people to Christ. We point them to the Lord Jesus. That's the job of evangelism. It's not how much Greek or Hebrew you know. It's about knowing the Savior and pointing people to Christ. Invite them to come where you worship. Invite them to come hear your preacher. Invite them to come hear the evangelist when he's in town. Invite them. Invite them. Invite them. Isn't that what she done? She went out and immediately, that's what happened to me, brother. I'm going to tell you, when God saved me, I immediately became an evangelist. And she did too. She's out there evangelizing and saying, come see a man. I personally believe there's something that happens in the life of a person when God saves them. And they want to tell the old bloodstained story when they're forgiven. Come see a man. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and came unto him. You know what she done? She was successful in getting people to Christ. You and I can be too. Father, take the word of God today. I pray you'd speak it real, Lord. Speak it to hearts. And God, I don't know why we preach this. I feel like this is the way the Holy Ghost wants to go. I believe there's people out here today that need encouragement. They've got people. God, this is very important to the saving of all mankind. If 10 people today hear this message and take and go in Jesus' name and pray over their labors and speak the word of God to their loved ones, there could be manifold thousands saved because of this. And God, this is the way you bear fruit. Somebody plants a seed. What do? We plant seed and we trust God to water it. We go forth bearing precious seed. 126 Psalm says, we bear precious seed. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, verse 5, said that he shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. God, I trust this word today as we preach it with tears, God. I trust as we bear precious seed, it shall come again with rejoicing. There's going to be fruit from it, Lord. Every time we speak the word of God in your name, in your will, fruit comes of it. And God, we trust it for today. And God, we trust the people today to be empowered to go and speak the word. Lord God, they can just love them and be kind to them and speak the word. It's love that wins them, Lord. God, when we show genuine concern, Father, do that now. Do it today. Speak it to people's heart. Encourage your saints. And God, if there's one lost out there, I pray you'll save them. I trust you, God, to do great exploits. God, we know we shall do valiantly through our God. Now, Father, take the word and use it. Bless each listener. In Jesus' name we ask it. Until we meet again, may the word of God richly bless you. Use our prayer.